Well, the moment finally arrived, the Rose Garden ceremony, the unveiling of the tariffs. We thought, well, maybe that was going to be the moment that we got some clarity and we could see what the market ought to do going forward. I'm not so sure that's what happened. Robert Kaplan is the vice chairman of Goldman Sachs and, of course, the former CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us again, sir.
Good to talk to you, David.
So what did you hear from the Rose Garden today? Did you get the clarity that we were trying to see? The market initially thought it did, and then it just turned around and sold off.
Yeah, so I understood what he communicated on tariffs on countries outside North America. My question at the end of it, which you and I talked about leading up to this call, is I want to make sure I understand what's going on with Mexico and Canada. If you're importing aluminum, lumber, if you're an automaker where probably 40 to 50% of the U.S. car content comes from Mexico and Canada, I want to make sure I'm clear on, are they charging tariffs on that logistics and supply chain arrangements or not? I think the answer is yes, but I want to be sure because you've heard me say before, I can question the wisdom of tariffs on final goods from around the world. I think, though, imports from Mexico and Canada are critical to U.S. competitiveness, logistics, supply chain arrangements. North America is an integrated continent, which allows us to be globally competitive and take share. And I must admit, I might still not be 100% sure on how we're treating Mexico and Canada. I'm sure we'll figure it out in the next 24 hours, but I'm not sure at this second.
But one of the questions going forward is, so if we figure it out, is that something that's going to change in a few months or a quarter or 6 months or a year? And so if you're corporate America, do you plan for tariffs to be there forever and consequently onshore everything you can and, you know, make other arrangements? Or is this transient and it's going to go back the way it was?
So there's two sets of decision makers here. There's foreign domiciled decision makers who have to decide whether they want to try to create more manufacturing capability in the United States. And they also are going to have to decide at the government level whether they're going to retaliate. The group of decision makers I'm most concerned about are the U.S. domiciled decision makers. And what I'm concerned about, they're trying to wrestle with how do they produce a product that is globally competitive. Right now, they're importing aluminum, lumber, natural gas from predominantly Canada, and they're using integrated supply chains and logistic relationships with Canada and Mexico. And those companies, I can tell you, are trying to figure out how they want to adapt to this. And the reason that's giving them pause, it's one thing for them to take margin, lose margin, or raise prices. What they're trying to figure out is should they expand manufacturing capacity here, but have it be high cost and not globally competitive. For us to recreate an aluminum industry here, I've heard estimates it will take 6 or 7 nuclear power plants being created, could take double-digit number of years and expensive. The decision makers I'm most worried about are the U.S. domiciled decision makers.
And again, for right now, it looks like there are no reciprocal tariffs on Canada and Mexico. But that notwithstanding, the economy is not in great shape anyway. In fact, I saw one of your economists, Goldman Sachs economists, talking about, you know, extrapolating some of these numbers and seeing an unemployment rate of in excess of 7% in 2026. A lot of money, about interest rates dropping, and a fairly stagnant economy.
Yeah, so here's the problem. Tariffs are not the only thing going on. In addition, and I understand why we're doing this, we're cutting government spending because we're trying to reduce deficits as a percentage of GDP. I get it. You may not love the way they're doing it, but I actually understand why they're doing that. That slows growth. The other big thing they're doing, which isn't being talked about enough, we have reduced immigration of all types here. We had a big workforce growth in the last 4 years, which helped increase GDP growth along with fiscal spending. That's been reduced to zero. But the big thing I'm worried about, there are double-digit millions of workers in this country, either undocumented or who have green card status, who I can tell you are unsure about their status. The undocumented, I'm hearing from employers, are not coming to work in some cases, certainly not shopping. And I'm even hearing from green card holders, they're thinking about taking a trip overseas and they're deciding, I don't think I should travel because I'm not sure they're going to let me back in. I'm unsure of my status. When millions of people are unsure of their status, it's one thing about showing up to work, but what I'm concerned about, you see the softness in consumer spending.
Yeah.
That starts to be a big chunk of the consumer market.
But you're talking about millions of people going in essence, going into hiding.
Well, they're being very careful. And at a minimum, they're not in a big, great mood to go to the mall and go on a spending spree. And so if there was some clarity, positively, that is, on their status, they would get reactivated and resume their lives. But I think when you take those three things in tariff, one of the three, tariffs are not the only thing going on. And that's why the concern is, it's not to me whether we're going to grow at 1.75%. If we ended the year at 1.75% GDP growth, I would actually be somewhat relieved. My concern is, are we going to grow much slower than that and get down to stall speed? Now, nobody wants that. The administration doesn't want that. But inadvertently, will this little bit get away from us where we start slowing a lot more than we thought? And then the question is, what do you do that stimulates? Well, they're talking about more tax incentives, more than just extending the Trump tax cuts. Regulatory relief, I think, will be helpful, but it'll take a year or two for that to kick in. That's the issue and why we're on kind of pins and needles watching what's going on. And that will lead to corporate earnings revisions downward. And that's what everybody's on the edge of their seat about.
Help me with this. So one of the things I hear is if we have these tariffs, with these reciprocal tariffs, and we finally get them like they've gotten us, we get all this money, we get this tremendous influx of money coming into the economy. It's going to help the economy. But my sense is that if foreign goods get a lot more expensive with the tariffs, we're just not going to buy them.
Yeah,
and then there'll be no money coming in.
So here's the issue. Every paper, and this is theoretical, that I've ever read on tariffs, and this was the experience, I must say, in the first Trump administration, every dollar of tariffs you raise, you might give back some chunk of that in slower economic growth, meaning lower tax revenues. And then the other thing that happened in the first administration, we needed to compensate damaged industries. So the net dollars in might be far less than are anticipated. And you got to remember the total denominator of all these import goods is such that, to your point, if people just change buying behavior and shift habits, my worry, though, with all of it is Mexico, Canada. That's the priority in my mind. I can debate the pros and cons of the other. But logistics and supply chain arrangements allow us to be globally competitive, take share from elsewhere in the world. If people want to domicile here from other parts of the world, having access to Mexico and Canada would make it an easier decision.
Yeah.
That's my concern.
One of the things you did at the Fed, and I always loved hearing the feedback from this, and you do it at Goldman Sachs now too, is talk to CEOs and sort of your informal poll, people you've been talking to for years, and they're candid with you, they tell you. So.
Yeah.
Do they think that this is the end, that this is the clarity, that this was, or maybe that this is all just some giant bargaining tool?
Well, obviously, I haven't had a chance to talk to them right after this, but I think none of them expected this to clarify things. They were hoping maybe for a pleasant surprise, particularly about Mexico and Canada. I would guess the uncertainty now doesn't end, the uncertainty now begins. Which is, are there going to be retaliatory tariffs? We don't know. How am I going to deal with this? And again, how much do I take out of margin? How much do I take out of How much do I have to raise prices? What other moves can I make? And I think that deciphering is going to take several weeks or months. But the tough decision is going to be, do I really want increased investing here if it's not globally competitive? And that's the part that I hear CEOs agonizing over.
That's what you worry about. Look, one last thing, and I don't know you know the answer to this, but I certainly don't. How do you implement something like this? I mean, 25% Mexico, Canada, like it or not, I could see that. But when you're talking about 10% for the UK and 24% for Japan and 46% for Vietnam and 31% for Switzerland, I mean, how do you, I mean, what's the mechanism for doing that?
I would guess, and there are people more expert than me on this, I would guess this is a partnership basically between companies who import and the government. So I'm going to import, or I'm going to have logistics and supply chain arrangements, or I'm a retailer and I'm going to import a avocado or something. I imagine what happens is we have to report it. We have to work with the government. We have to make sure that this will create a big administrative burden, I would guess, on companies to make sure they're accurately reporting this so they're not accused of cheating.
Well, then they have to be audited too, so to see if they are, I would assume, at some point. Well,
yes.
Hopefully soon we'll know a lot more, but for right now, I mean, I think the knee-jerk reaction on Wall Street is this is not the best of all situations. This may be among the worst.
There was a hope on Wall Street, and I've had this debate with many, and I would say very prominent money managers, not just in the United States, but around the world. I think there was a hope that this was a negotiation that would ultimately wind up in a better place. What their fear is that actually aluminum, lumber, autos, pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, they're less worried about, but semiconductors are all in effect carved out. And no matter what the reciprocal actions are, we're going to have 20-25% tariffs on those. And then the fear is, how do we manage that? And I'm gleaning from today that fear may be realized, that in fact, this isn't a negotiation. We are carving out five or six industries, but I'm not sure. And like a lot of things, I think I'd be wise to say, I'm not sure. And I'm already talking to my team to try to see if we can get some clarity. And there may have to be more communication to get clarity on some of these questions.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what ultimately the market decides on this and what ultimately the numbers look like after all this. Hopefully we avoid a stagnant economy. Robert Kaplan, Vice Chairman of Goldman Sachs, former CEO of the Dallas Fed. Thank you for your insight. We appreciate it.
Good to talk to you, David.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.